It's already started.
Oh, okay. Hi. Welcome to the Roche Pam episode 3.
Are you singing now?
No, I'm definitely not singing. Christina wants to bless you guys with a song she created.
Yeah. If you don't know him, his name is Matt. And we don't have an introduction song yet, so I was going to make one up on the spot right now. So, welcome to the Roche Fam with audio sucks and energies. Hi.
This is now life. This is our life now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
We are going to be talking about pregnancy, parenting, and what we expected versus reality.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the expectations of first-time parenthood. And for those who are not parents, there are some funny stories we're going to share. I'm also going to say that we're probably going to be talking about bodily fluids at some point. So if that grosses you out, bye!
Honestly, everything that deals with baby and pregnancy and birthing, it's all going to be bodily fluids.
Okay. Once we found out we were pregnant, how did you feel?
I was shocked. I think that because we only talked about it about a month before it actually happened, I didn't even think it was real. When you called me to come over, and I already knew what you were, because we were both talking about it. We were like, wait, is this legit or not?
It was my roommate's birthday, and we were having a party that night, and we were planning to drink. And because we had that conversation a month before, I told you, I was like, and we were going to the grocery store anyway to get balloons. And I said, you know what? While I'm here, let me go grab a test. So I grab a test. I go to this gross bathroom. I take it. We're waiting for these balloons for 15 minutes. And I pull the test out. And I look at it in the grocery store. We're not doing anything fancy. And we both looked at it. And we were like, oh, cool. Not pregnant. I can drink tonight. Great. And I just held on to this pee-pee bag for 10 minutes, and the balloons took forever. And while we're standing there waiting, I pulled it out again, and I looked at it a little bit closer, and I was like, is that a line? And I handed it to you, and you were like, nah.
It looked faded. I feel like when in the description, it shows like a really solid line, and the one we had was like really faded, which... when we took it over to Chastity, she was like, yeah, the faded line means it's legit. I didn't believe, I thought it was just like, I don't know, I didn't know. I've never been a part of a pregnancy test before, so I wasn't sure.
So for all of y'all who've never taken a test before, if there's any line, whether it's faint or not, just assume you're pregnant. Go get tested at your doctor. We are not doctors. Don't take any of our advice as scholarly. It's not. So anyway, I looked at him and he looked at me in the store. We both convinced each other I'm not pregnant. And we go back to the apartment, and I had bought 4 more tests at that point. And Matt, I think you left or something.
I was there for her whole birthday. I left when they went out to... No, I think we just stayed in. I don't remember and I know that all of them got dressed up, and
I think you left
her friend got electrocuted, and then they all came over, and then they all went to the bars, and I must have probably left then.
But do you remember, like, you came back later, and I had the adventure mug, and I was like, we are pregnant. I don't know if that was the same day.
I think it was the next day, because Kayla was there, Chastity was there, it was the next day.
Okay, so maybe...
So I think we stayed in, and then I left that night to go home, and then I came back the next day. But I think Kayla and Chastity were at the your apartment before I got there, and you're like, hey, you need to come over.
Yeah, the details I don't remember, other than I do remember on the day of Chastity's birthday, I went over to her, and I talked to her, and I was like, do you think I'm pregnant? And she looked at that and just started cracking up, and she was like... bitch, you're pregnant. I'm sorry, Grandma, if you're listening.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really exciting just from the perspective of us being, we were hoping we would. I had an assumption, an expectation that it would take us a long time to get pregnant.
Yeah.
I have seen three people in my life who have gone through fertility issues for many years, and I have seen people not be able to conceive at all and just accept that. And that's really hard. Like, it's not even something I can grasp, and I'm not the right person to even be talking about it. So we felt really lucky that it happened as quickly for us as it did. But I think because it did happen so quickly, I don't think I was super prepared.
Yeah. How did you react? Because I wasn't there when you found out. So how did you actually react when you knew it was legit?
I was happy. I think we made a right decision, though, with before we got pregnant. I talked to 4 important people in my life, whether they were family or friends, and I gave them a heads up. I said, I just want you to know Matt and I are trying, and if we get pregnant, it's not an accident. And because I had those conversations already and it was out there, it just felt really exciting. I was really happy to start a family with you and to see how excited you were when we actually found out. And I think that night we just laid next to each other and we were like, I can't believe this is happening. And you started talking about names right away, which was really sweet to me. I don't know if you even remember that.
I love the idea of talking about names. That's like super fun for me. But I think my first like initial reaction when I knew it was, you had multiple tests that all were positive, I was like really excited. And then after 5 or 10 minutes, anxiety just hit me in the face. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to take care of a human. What am I supposed to do? Like, I all the rational thoughts kicked in because I was like, okay, excitement for a little bit. And then it was like, oh no, now a human is going to be relying on me to be alive for the next 18 years at least. And that's when I was like, I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't know how to do this. So that whole day, I think like after that, I was just like nervous. I was just super nervous.
I don't think you ever said out loud though that you weren't quote unquote ready for this. You always were very.
Well, I'm ready for anything, but I didn't know how to take care. Like I didn't know how to be a dad. It wasn't that I was not like I knew I could handle it. I just didn't know how to handle it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess that's a better way of describing it. It's like, I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew I could figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what really scared me the most was just I had been drinking those first few weeks before I knew I was pregnant, and that scared me. And talk to your doctors, but the first few weeks, as soon as you find out, you quit drinking and whatever else you're doing, the baby's going to be fine. The problem is when you're continuing to drink and have other habits, that's not good. So once I saw the doctor, I felt a lot better. I think one thing that did catch me off guard was ever since I was little, I have always had a fascination with pregnancy and kids. And I babysat as young as 14 years old, and I worked in like the nurseries and Sunday schools and things. So I was always with kids. I listened religiously to this podcast called The Birth Hour before I was pregnant. But for probably 4 or 5 years, I just found it really interesting. And it's a podcast that talks about basically brings on different women who have had a child, and they talk about their birth experience and what pregnancy was like and how afterbirth was. And the second I got pregnant, I could not handle any information about pregnancy. I just got so overwhelmed. Ever since we got pregnant, I've never listened to that podcast again.
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No.
It's like I listened to 2 things, either true crime or pregnancies. I don't know why. So as far as like the actual pregnancy experience, I was really tired at the beginning, and I was expecting to be more nauseous. And I would say I had a 30% constant nausea spell over me. I don't feel like it ever prevented me from eating, and I never threw up during pregnancy. I just was really tired, especially towards the beginning. But then the second the 13th week hit, my energy levels came back, and I was still working full-time all the way up, literally till the day before I gave birth. I actually sent an email when I was in the hospital. I don't know if you remember that. Because we had hired my temp while I was on leave, right, 2 weeks before. So I was working the whole time. And it really was fine. I didn't realize, like, we were so excited for the baby to come that I feel like I did not enjoy our free time as much as I should have.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's so much that goes into preparing. And we were just trying to keep you not nauseous. So we were just trying to eat like fruits and vegetables because that's all you could eat. You couldn't even smell chicken or beef. You were very sensitive to certain type of smells. But what about pregnancy was a surprise to you that you weren't aware of?
No one told me about round ligament pain. And if you don't know what that is, because I spent 27 years not knowing what that was, there are like two muscles. And if I am saying this wrong, someone tell me and I'll correct it. But I think there's two like muscle strings that attach your uterus in place in your inside. So when you get pregnant, especially towards the end of pregnancy, anytime you like try and stand up or do a squat, so if you're sitting down in a car or getting up from bed or trying to put a shoe on, there's this excruciating sharp pain that you get in your pelvis. That's probably because it was so constant. I was in tears a few times because of how painful it was. And that caught me by surprise because nobody talked about it. The one thing that did meet my expectations was having to go to the bathroom. I already have to go to the bathroom a lot. I had to go to the bathroom every 10 minutes, and it's not an exaggeration. It was very inconvenient, especially at night. And it's funny because once you have the baby, I do feel like there's this brainwashing thing of forgetting. And Matt's not a forgetter, so he reminds me, which is good. I do remember in pregnancy, I would not eat meat. Chicken, even to this day, is still really hard for me to eat. And after I would eat, I could not smell food. Having our apartment that you could smell the kitchen sometimes was really unfortunate, especially at night. I think there was a period like for 3 or 4 months, your mom was cooking me like quinoa that was soaked in chicken broth and beef.
When my mom first brought that to you, you were like, that's disgusting. I'm not eating this. I don't want to eat this. And then you ate it for one bowl and you're like, okay, that wasn't that bad. And then after that, you craved it every single day. Mm-hmm. Quinoa and beef. That's all. No special sauce or flavors or anything. It was just straight quinoa and beef plain. And my mom was making pounds of this stuff. Our whole entire fridge was like quinoa and beef. And Christina was eating that every single meal. On top of fruits and vegetables too.
Yeah, I could tolerate fruits and vegetables. But that was like the only source of protein I was getting. And for some reason, even to this day, talking about, I haven't had that in a really long time. I feel like I'm craving it now. It was the most delicious thing I've ever eaten in my life, considering when nothing sounds good, if you find one thing that sounds okay, oh my gosh. And the way she made it, I can't make it. She makes it perfect because I don't like the flavor of quinoa. It was just really simple, but your mom says that and then she hocus pocuses it to magic land and it's so yummy.
What else did you, I mean, sleeping on your back, that situation was pretty tough for you.
Yeah, so I think first episode we talked about the way the bed was arranged. Essentially, we were tucked in a corner where every single side of the bed except for the foot of the bed was
encaved.
Yeah, encaved, encapsulated. It was closed. I don't know how to explain it.
It was like, is that a word, encaved?
I don't know. So essentially, I had to roll out of the bed and it was beyond uncomfortable. The other thing no one told me was I don't know if it's 15 weeks or 20 weeks, you are not supposed to sleep on your back because apparently it can stop the blood flow to the baby and could possibly hurt your baby. So to minimize risk, you're supposed to sleep on your side. So you can't sleep on your belly. You can only sleep on your sides. So basically it was a giant mountain of pillows. And then we would peek over to say hi to each other. And it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about the experience of, like, being connected to her in my belly, because I thought that I would have this just instant baby belly connection. I almost feel like there was a part of me that's, when we got pregnant, I kept telling myself, there's no way we could get pregnant in 1 month, and there's no way that it's gonna make it, like, yeah. And I feel like that fear just hung on to me so bad. I almost think my reaction to it was to mentally shut off. And I honestly don't think I let myself, like, fully love her when she was in my belly in fear of losing her. That was, like, my way of protecting myself.
I felt the same way, too. I knew that there was obviously a baby being born in her stomach, but, like, I know it's obviously different when it's happening inside you, but I didn't have any type of feelings because it didn't really connect to me. Like, it didn't make sense because I didn't have a tangible, like, person. And one way I described it is, if you imagine having $1 billion and doing fun things and whatever your life would be like, and it doesn't feel real until it's in your hands. And once it's in your hands, it is a totally different thing. And I didn't know if that was, like, a good explanation. You can always dream of what it would be like to have $1 billion, but until it's in your hands, it doesn't feel real. And that's the feeling I had the whole time. I'm guessing this is, like, a common thing, because I don't know if it's our generation or what generation it is, but it's so easy to just be like, oh, it doesn't have a heartbeat, doesn't have it, because it's easy to just make a decision when you don't have an attachment. And we literally didn't have an attachment for 9 months. If people could only experience, like, what it's like when she's in your arms that first time, they would never make that decision so early on. I know it could be, times are hard and things are, whatever situation you're in, I know, I can understand, like, the reasons to do it, but in the end, having her in your arms, or him in your arms, it's just the thought process of ever her not being here would just, it just would tear us apart. I could never even imagine not having her.
Yeah, and that's a complex issue. I think I'm just going to put out our opinion real quick so that people know where we stand. I'm a full believer in giving people full rights and access to what the care they need. I think that for my own personal decision after having Emmy, I don't think I could ever go through an abortion. That's a really long conversation. Yeah. But I can understand the fear. I can also understand rape, incest, all those crazy situations. Outliers, yeah. Outliers. But if I think the primary issue I would have with it is if someone's primary form of birth control is an abortion, that makes me sad. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
I don't feel like my views should ever be pushed on someone politically. If people are trying to take something away from this, I think that encouraging people to understand what they're doing, especially just if that's their primary form of birth control, that's my strongest stake in the game, is that shouldn't be your number one defense against pregnancy. There's so many options out there.
But going through this experience, the end result is nothing you could ever imagine in your life. So I thought I've loved people and things and family and everyone. Like, I thought I've loved everything in my life to the max level at some point. And when she came out, it was like a different type of feeling and, like, love I've had for something that I've never experienced before. I can't even put it into words what she means to me.
Pregnancy was so detached that we didn't even have the capacity to understand what that felt like.
No.
And it was such a different experience for both of us, because I didn't even realize how much love I would have. So one thing I do want to talk about is, you had always taken care of me and put me first even before we were pregnant. But then once I became pregnant, you were very attentive to my needs and making sure I had food. And you don't like Mexican food, but all I wanted to eat was rice and beans. And you suffered through that with me. And that was like a glimpse of what dadhood would be for you to, like, the 10th degree.
Yeah.
And that was, I shouldn't be surprised, but I guess in my mind, like, I'm self-sufficient. Like, I don't need someone to take care of me. And you always took care of me. And so that did surprise me how very, like, thoughtful you were throughout the whole experience, always making sure the car was pulled up. And I don't think I've ever filled up the gas tank, maybe once since I got pregnant. I really appreciate that quality about you.
Thanks.
Oh, okay. I want to rate what my expectations were for pregnancy, birth, and then, like, breastfeeding. Because in my mind, I was fully convinced, based on everything I'd heard and been taught, that breastfeeding was going to be so easy, pregnancy was going to be difficult, and birth was going to be the worst thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. And that is absolutely wrong for my experience. My experience was completely flipped. Birth was the easiest. I would go through that 40 times a day to skip breastfeeding. Pregnancy was like, meh, not as bad as I thought. I also, because at the time we got pregnant, I was in relatively good shape. I was walking 6-7 miles a day. I was doing yoga and working out. And I feel like that kind of set up my very lazy pregnancy to be... My body was in a place that it handled it really well. I didn't gain a ton of weight. I actually struggled the first 6.5 months with gaining weight. The doctor even said, because I think my whole pregnancy I gained 19 pounds, which with me struggling with weight and all kinds of things, I for sure thought pregnancy is going to be this fun thing where I get to eat whatever I want and I don't care how much I weigh. And I was really looking forward to that. And just I literally, binge eating. Not giving a heck about anything. And I literally didn't want to eat a thing. So that was really weird. As far as body changes, I was really lucky not to get stretch marks. I don't really feel like after giving birth, my body
changed. I feel like everyone has a different experience with that.
My hairline, that changed. Labor and delivery. We had also an expectation that these doctor visits were going to be really fun and exciting. And they basically were like 8 minutes and you spent more time driving to them than you actually spend at the doctor's office. The first 6 months were fast.
Yeah.
And then Emerson started to have like heart increases and decreases. And I started to have contractions early on. We had to go in for a non-stress test once a week for the last month and a half of me being pregnant, essentially to monitor her heart rate to make sure it didn't drop below a certain point. So that was a little bit scary, and it was a bummer because you had to drive and be in the office for an hour. But we had a go bag ready to go and all of our stuff packed for whenever it was time. And I had this thought in my mind that I was going to go into labor and we'd labor at home and go to the hospital and it'd be this really lovely, magical experience. The last 4 weeks, we had the backpack packed and ready to go.
Every single time.
And Sweet Matt drove me because it was so painful for me to sit in a car towards the end. And so he's hanging in there with me. And this last time, I was 38 weeks and I was like, this is dumb. I'm not going to pack up the bag again because we've done this for 5 weeks straight and nothing has happened. It's not a big deal. So we get in the car. I didn't even have my wallet.
We didn't shower. We didn't brush our teeth. We didn't have breakfast. We literally, it was what, 8 o'clock in the morning. We woke up. She did, I don't know if she even worked at all. And then we literally just woke up and just, all right, let's just go. And we just left. Like, we literally were the least prepared on this one visit than any other visit.
So we get into the office. They run this non-stress test. Emerson's heart rate's dropping and I'm having contractions, which I didn't even feel at the time. So they basically send us over to the hospital at this point. And I don't remember if they said it in the doctor's office, but
I think she said she sent us over to the hospital to get checked. She's, I think we need to get her out today. Your doctor didn't like the fact that it just kept dropping. And it was like she was having trouble getting her heart rate back up. And she was like, I'm not taking any more risks. I just want to get her out. That was like the base of what she was saying to us.
Yeah. So we went over to the hospital with nothing. They get us checked in and basically confirm today's the day and we want to start you on Pitocin. And I'm looking at Matt. I have nothing. I'm starving. You're hungry. And it sounds like it was, really fast, like 8 o'clock. By 8:10, we're over there. No, at this point, it was like noon by the time we got checked in and settled, and Matt and I decided he was going to leave. We were not going to start the Pitocin until he got back. The nurse was actually really sweet, and she just said, we'll just wait till you eat something because you're not going to be eating for a long time. So Matt went over to Wahoo's, was my choice. I wanted like a tofu taco.
And I went home and got all of the baby stuff. So I went home, got the baby stuff, got her wallet. I did a quick shower, got food, and then came back.
And can I just say, if you have the choice to pre-register, do it if you know your hospital. Because when we walked in, we didn't have to sign anything. We did all the paperwork before, so we just got settled in. One mistake I made was the fancy tofu tacos I got. For some reason, it didn't come with rice, so I literally just had vegetables and tofu. And I really regretted that because I was so freaking hungry the entire time.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't know how much protein is in tofu or what. I feel like you needed to stock up on carbs, and you just needed to be stocked for the next 10 hours.
Let me say, ladies, if you are planning to get an epidural, start doing crunches now, always, forever. We'll get to that. But anyway, so the first nurse that came in, she was really fun, spunky. Like, she was making jokes with me. I was making her laugh. And it's an already awkward experience because you're naked and stuff. And there's this weird lady who's never given birth before or has any children. And we're just both, hello, so nice to see you. So I really liked the energy she had because she was really fun and upbeat and made me feel comfortable. They didn't let me take a shower, but she got me like 20,000 wipes. So I was able to give myself like a sponge bath, which still wasn't enough. But basically, when Matt came back, at that point, it was a little bit later. We had eaten. They started the Pitocin. I could feel the contractions. They weren't bad. And we were just hanging out. And you were sitting on that couch, and I want you to tell them a little bit about that couch.
This is, I think, a joke in the dad world that, like, it's called, it's like the couch. It's like the most uncomfortable thing that you could ever sit on. Actually, no, the one in the waiting room or whatever that room was that we were in wasn't as bad as the one in the
post-op. Yeah.
That one was horrible. But it's just, they give you like a very 1990s, very uncomfortable, hard couch to sit on for 10 hours.
It's more than 10 hours, and it's not even...
And then it's overnight, and then the next night. So it's 3 days of the worst thing on your back.
It's not even a bed. It's a recliner. Yeah. You can't even fully sleep.
Yeah.
That was also another weird thing, as we're thinking through this. I expected to be in one room the entire experience. And what I didn't realize is they have you in, like, the pre-laboring room, which for us was really small. And then once it's time to give birth, they bring you into the birthing room. And then once you're done giving birth, they roll you over into the post-care room. So that was weird because I didn't ever realize. It makes sense. How can you have these giant, beautiful operating, or not, they're not operating. And I don't even know if they do C-sections in that room or if they roll you to another one.
I'm sure they do. They had all the tools and everything. They had everything in that birthing room.
It's so around maybe 10 o'clock, there was a shift change. Oh, and that day was a Chiefs game, like the first of the season.
Hold on, let's back up before the Chiefs game. They gave you the epidural at 8 o'clock. So
no, it was earlier than
no,
that.
It wasn't, because I remember calling my mom right at around that time. And I was like, she I think it was 8:45 when I was on the phone with my mom outside. And you were in there for 20 minutes already. And I was like, they haven't brought me back in. I've been waiting out here. And I was just nervous because they're shoving a needle down her back, and it can be dangerous.
Even that was different because I thought you'd be able to hold my hand during the epidural, and they kicked you out of the room.
Apparently, since it's going into your skin, they have to have it like sanitary or something. I don't know if that's the reason or not, but I had to be out of the room when they gave her the epidural, and they said they would bring me back in after, and they never got me, and it was like 35, 40 minutes. I was like, I feel like it should be done by now. And I was getting nervous, so I just came back in and everything was fine. But that's when the epidural started at like about 8:45.
And I have to share the epidural experience because it's one for the books. And when Matt saw the nurse or the doctor that was coming in to give the epidural, and he called his mom, his mom was like, does the nurse look experienced? Are they like like a doctor. He was older. So Matt called his mom and was like,
she asked, she goes, how old was he? I'm like, he looked like he was like 75. She's like, oh, you're good then. Don't even worry. I was like, okay.
That guy honestly changed my whole life probably, because I know that there's different ways you can get an epidural, and sometimes it'll only numb half, or it'll not numb at all, or a certain like point. I couldn't feel a thing. This is where it gets fun, and I'm also going to give a warning. If you don't want to hear about the fluids, skip ahead a little bit, because birth is messy. So before we got the epidural, I told the nurse, I was like, I really have to pee. And she told me, you can't pee right now. I can't. There's too many wires. It's fine. As soon as you have the epidural, you're going to get a catheter. Don't worry about it.
Also, this is the new nurse that came in on the second shift. So it's a different, totally different lady.
The shift swap happened. And this other nurse,
six, I think, or something like that. It was like a couple hours before the epidural.
So this other nurse, her temperament was much more calm, very serious, very focused. And I was still in La Land, like, it wasn't too bad, but the Pitocin had kicked in enough where it was starting to be uncomfortable. And I'm how I decided on getting an epidural, I was team tough it out. I want to feel the full experience originally. And when I was talking to my OB, she looked at me and she goes, oh, you want to have an exorcism birth? And I said, what? And she goes, we have medicine for a reason. It changed my feelings. She talked to me for probably 15 minutes about how safe it is. There's always risks, but if you're calm, it can be good for the baby. If that's a choice, you go. And as we were laboring, there was another lady down the hall screaming her head off. I for sure, no epidural for that lady.
Yeah, I asked her, I'm like, is that a natural birth? She's like, yes, that's what a natural birth is.
So between the comment from my doctor and hearing that other lady, I was like, this is starting to get painful. I'm tapping out. Give me the drugs. So the doctors come in. Matt had left, and my nurse was as serious as she was. I told her, I said, I'm scared. So the way that you have to get an epidural, you sit up on the bed with your legs hanging down. They elevate the bed to 4 or 5 feet off the ground, maybe higher. I felt really high up. Your legs are hanging off the side, and you basically have to become a circle. You have to lean forward as far as you can, which when you have a belly that is the size of a beach ball, trying to lean forward is not possible. And remember, I really had to pee, okay? I told this nurse 3 times, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And then I'm scared. And so she was a sweetheart. And she put herself between my legs. So like her thighs were against the bed and she was holding my hands and basically hugging me because she was trying to keep me steady. And the epidural nurse guy, doctor guy, he pushed down on my shoulders when he put the needle in. And the second the needle went in, you can't move. I looked up at the nurse and I just said, I'm really sorry. And she said, what? And then we both looked down and I had peed all over her shoes, and not like a little bit. I couldn't get it to stop, and it just kept coming, and I just kept saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And she just said, you are so good, you are doing so good right now, you're holding so still. She wasn't fazed by it at all, and this girl was so professional,
and she was only like 26 27, like she was young.
Yeah, young, but it was fine. So I get the epidural, and you have a little button. You can push the button as much as you want because it will stop automatically giving you the drugs, like if you've reached a limit or whatever. After a few hours, we tried to take a nap. I think we took a nap for a little bit.
Before we took the nap, I think it was your heartbeat or your blood pressure, which dropped dramatically. And you started shaking and shivering, and you couldn't get warm. And a bunch of crazy stuff was happening, and they couldn't even get your blood pressure on your arm. It wasn't even reading. And so we had to call in a bunch of other doctors and nurses to come in and check on you. And that was creepy.
I wasn't having a seizure, but it felt like the closest thing I could explain to having a seizure, as I don't know what else to compare it to.
It was just, she was shaking though. You were cold and shaking, and you couldn't, and your blood pressure wasn't reading, and I think your heart rate was dropping too.
Yeah.
So it was like everything was going down, and that was scary, and couldn't figure out what was going on. They went through 3 chains of command to get to a guy that knew what was going on, and they had to do it around your leg or your ankle or something like
that. It was my calf.
Your calf, yeah. And that's how they got your blood pressure. And I think they gave you like two or three like vials of something to bring it back up. I don't really know what they gave you. But after that, then we were feeling better.
I guess there's something called the epidural shakes, and that's what it was. They slowed the Pitocin down, and at that point, I had already had contractions before. So when they stopped the Pitocin, I actually was already making progress. And to add to this, when we went in really early, I had progressed like 3 centimeters after 10 hours. And I told them, I was like, this is going to be forever.
For the people that don't know, you have to be, what, above 8 or 9 centimeters to start giving birth. So you want to be closer to 10 centimeters. Like, that's like the goal before going into the birthing room. And she was only at 3 after all day.
Yeah. So that was a little bit discouraging. I'm also going to throw in the Chiefs nugget because there was a Chiefs game playing.
First one of the season.
And they lost, and Matt was pouty pants for a while. I was disappointed, and Matt was, like, really disappointed. And so once it started getting really intense, I looked at you, and I said, you have 10 minutes to complain about that game, and then it's baby time.
Yeah.
Right around that time when the shakes started to get really bad, it took them probably 2 hours till they could figure out how to get my blood pressure on my calf, and it was okay. Because I honestly don't think my blood pressure was actually dropping. Just the way I was shaking made it read like it was dropping. So we had our nurse, and then her boss came in and was pushing things around. And our nurse was quietly questioning, should we do that? Are we sure? And the other nurse kept saying, yeah, we're going to do it this way. But just, she was, the other nurse,
overstepping her, like, or like overpowering her.
And you could, the sense I got was our nurse, she was confident in what she was doing, but it was obviously her boss, so she wasn't going to
question
it. So that's all important context for the ending of the story. But when they finally got my blood pressure reading, they checked me, and it had only been like an hour. Like, the last time they checked how dilated I was, it was 3 centimeters. An hour later, 2 hours later, whatever it was, I was 10 centimeters. And they were like,
oh, no, we took a nap.
Yeah, the timelines and the details are a little blurry at this point.
Well, all I remember is waking up and at 1 o'clock.
Poor Matt finally had fallen asleep, and we didn't know we were switching rooms. So the nurse was getting me ready to go to the other room, and she tells Matt, hey, Matt, it's time to go to the labor room. And Matt gets up, and he was wearing sunglasses because there was lights in the room, and we have a backpack and all kinds of stuff. And he gets up in his little couch slumber and just waddles out of the room. And the nurse and I start laughing, and he comes back in. Just, I felt really bad because you were exhausted at that point. Like, it had been so high intensity.
Yeah.
And then we finally fell asleep for an hour. And you just walked out. You left everything. Because in my mind, it was logical. Like, you thought we were coming back to that room after.
Yeah, we would give birth and then come back to the room that we've been in for the whole day.
And the nurse was like, you have to take your stuff with you. And I don't know why. That just cracked me up so much. Just because you were ready to go. You blasted out of that room. And you turned around.
I was still half asleep. I just got up. Like, I just woke up and just started going. You said, get out of the room. I started going.
So anyway, we end up in the labor room, and this is like a massive room, and no one had talked to me about pushing. And in all these 90,000 episodes of birthing that I had listened to, no one ever talked about how weird the epidural pushing experience. Maybe it's just this hospital. We get into the room, and it's just us and our single nurse. And in my mind, I thought it was going to be this team of nurses all hanging out.
I thought the doctor was going to be there the whole time.
Yeah, no one was there except for our nurse. She tells me the instructions are, she pulls up these hand railings that literally look like a roller coaster seat, and they crane the chair back. I guess you could compare it to if you went on a roller coaster that goes every which way direction, and it when you're leaning back, you have two handbars that essentially where your elbows bend, your hands grip onto them, and your feet are almost at your chest.
Another way, if people go to the gym, if you do those assisted ab workout things where they have the bars that you can lift and move yourself forward on, it's like one of those. But it's like they don't move. It's just they're just there, two handrails to grab onto.
I wish you guys could see us because we're both motioning like you could, but you can't. And so she tells me, she goes, okay, so when the contraction hits, you're going to do basically a sit-up and pull yourself up on the bars and then just push. And when we're doing this 30-second exercise, you're going to hold your breath until I tell you, and then you're going to breathe and then wait 10 seconds and then push. And I'm like, what? I've never done this before. Okay, so we try. I do this 3 times. And she says, okay, here comes a contraction. I hold my breath. 10 seconds comes. She says, okay, breathe. And so then I would exhale. And then she'd go, okay, ready, push. I couldn't figure out the rhythm right away. When she says that, like, breathe out before and inhale when she says. What happened was, like, after 3 or 4 pushes, my eyes felt like they were going to pop out of my sockets.
Your face was going bright red.
And I looked over at Matt and I said, I think I'm going to throw up. And the nurse goes to grab something. And before anyone could react, poor Matt is holding the blanket up. And I just yacked all over you, all over the blanket. And the nurse had handed you like a little barf bag to hold for me. And she's like shoving it under my chin. And you literally, you just
grabbed the blanket. I grabbed the blanket. And I was like, just throw up all over the blanket. Don't even try. Like, this bag would have literally like just shoved all the throw up back in her mouth. Like, it would have been completely useless. And I was like, just keep, you already threw up over the blanket, just keep going. And I'll just ditch this blanket and get a new one. So I just, yeah.
I'm not good at advocating for myself, but Matt is. She kept trying, like, put the bag over her mouth. And Matt literally pushed it away and was like, nope.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's not happening.
Okay. I throw up everywhere. And I'm like, okay, so have we made any progress? And the nurse looks at me and she just shakes her head. And at this point, I'm like, yeah, wait, how long is this? How many hours of pushing? Because my arms already hurt because of how hard I was pulling up and holding in my stomach and everything. And she goes, some first-time mothers, it takes them 10 hours. And I looked at her and I said, you need to tell me right now exactly what I need to do to get this child out because I am not pushing for 10 hours. And she just said, you need to push like you're going to go poop. And I was like, okay.
Now we're on the same page. Christina has to hold her breath for 10 seconds and push like she's pooping. Take one breath, hold for another 10 seconds. Take one breath, hold for another 10 seconds. That's, yes. Now we know the rhythm.
Yeah. And once I figured out the breathing thing, I didn't feel like I was going to pass out anymore. I figured out how to inhale correctly on the 10 seconds. So maybe 30 minutes later, my nurse says, stop. And I'm like, okay. So she runs out of the room and brings in her boss who comes in and checks me. And senior nurse says, I need to keep pushing.
She was crowning at this point.
And my nurse was like, no, we need to call the doctor. And the other nurse said, no, it'll take her a few more pushes. So the senior nurse leaves and I start to push again. And my nurse literally tells me to stop after the first push.
Emerson's head sticking out. Her whole entire head is out after one other push.
So the senior nurse comes back, looks and goes, oh dear. And she goes to get the doctor. And now here's another expectation versus reality. The doctor wasn't there.
Yeah, she was sleeping at home at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Like a normal person would do.
And we had to call her to wake her up to drive over and deliver this baby right now.
And the senior nurse came in and said, I've never seen that before. I've never seen a first-time mom push a baby out that quickly. So I'm literally, we're just chilling. Thank God for epidurals. I didn't feel anything. This whole experience, we're still laughing, making jokes, whatever. I was just happy we were getting somewhere.
And Emerson's head sticking out this whole entire time. We're just sitting there for 45 minutes. Emerson just doesn't know what's going on in her with life going on right now.
And the way I understand it, it's okay and safe because as long as the umbilical cord is attached, she's getting oxygen. So it's not like she's suffocating in there. So eventually the doctor shows up and I push the baby out. And so the total time for labor was 2 hours, but half that time was literally spent waiting for the doctor to literally, show up.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I thought it was going to be a lot grosser when the baby came out, like with all the fluids.
She was covered in like white. What happened immediately after she came out, the cord was wrapped around her neck twice, which was causing her heartbeat to drop because it was choking her. So that's why we needed to go in so early because right as she came out, they had to unwrap her very quickly. And then what they do is they shove her on mama's chest and then they wipe her off. She literally looked like a big pile of white slime connected to her, and then they wipe it off really fast.
And it wasn't gross. I don't remember smelling anything. I know
it doesn't smell. Baby didn't smell like anything.
I smelled like a lot of things, but baby didn't smell like anything. And it just was all really fast. I think the one very uncomfortable thing that I didn't like was that the nurse was basically forcing Emerson to latch on to breastfeed, and that's all new to me. And the way that she latched on, she did it incorrectly because it was so forced. Basically, I ended up with blood blisters on my nipples. And so I couldn't even breastfeed from one side from literally the beginning, which was the downfall of breastfeeding for me. But anyway, I feel like I blacked out when I first met her. I just remember looking at you and you had tears in your eyes. I remember the nurse putting her on the weighing station and Emerson was trying to crawl around. And the nurse even said, where do you think you're going? You're 10 minutes old. Chill out.
Yeah, she like lifted her head immediately as she came out.
So once you saw the baby for the first time, what were your feelings?
Dude, I was just in shock. I was just like, I couldn't believe it. But oh yeah, she was, when they went to go weigh her, they like, her head, she was lifting her head and she was trying to like crawl away. Literally right as she came out of the womb. We knew, I think that was foreshadowing of what life would have been, what life was going to be like. This girl has energy and is so freaking strong. She's unbelievably strong. Since she was born, this is how she's always been. But the feeling I felt when I just saw her, I was just in shock that she was, like, I just couldn't even believe it. I think that was really, I think shock was the best first impression, I should say, I felt. All the emotions and feelings didn't come until we got into the other room.
Okay, there's two more important parts to this story. One is an embarrassment to me, but it's too funny not to tell. Throughout this experience, one of my greatest fears was pooping while giving birth. And let me tell you, that epidural worked so good. I didn't poop. Like, I genuinely looked at the nurse and I looked at the mat after all the people had left. And I looked at them and I said, you guys, I am so proud of myself. I didn't poop that entire time. And the nurse, for the first time in 10 hours, cracked a smile. And Matt just cackles out loud. He goes, what do you mean? You pooped 3 times. And the nurse just said, she just quietly nodded.
And I was like, why do you think she kept on getting up, changing her gloves, and washing her hands? Literally, Christina was like, I didn't really put two and two together. I was like, yeah, because you're pooping all over her.
I did not want to look down there. I did not want to know what was going on. Even to this, I never looked down there. Yeah. Stitches, all of that recovery. Nope. No, thank you. And not looking.
The funny thing was, like, I kept on putting my shirt over my nose because it smelled so bad. And Christina thought it was because of the throw up, but it was not the throw up.
But you know what? I'll give you guys a lot of credit because you never made me feel bad for that entire experience. Going back, even last episode, talking about being pretty and dainty and all these things, I did not feel any shame. Even when you said that, it was so funny just the way if you guys would have lied to me and said, no, you didn't, I would have never have known that. Yeah. And it all clicked. Like, when you guys said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
No, you're giving birth. I think that vetoes every situation that's going on.
So. She told me, you better push like you're going to poop. Yeah, so
she did. You did it right.
Our nurse, and Matt said this too, after she left, he looked at me and he said, she was in there. She was like in there. And she didn't flinch. She didn't have a mask on.
No mask. Like, she was, her face was right with Emerson. And there was no mask. I was so impressed that she just was so focused. And I couldn't imagine just sitting there watching someone poop right in front of me 3 times and just smelling it and getting all over your hands. And oh, I know.
Now everyone's going to think of my butt. No, and that makes me really sad. Dude, don't think about that too much.
The thing is everyone goes through it.
Yeah. It's a rite of passage.
Another tip, all dads, don't look. That's all I got to say. Just don't look.
So our nurse, you know, we've talked a little bit about the dynamic of the senior nurse coming in. after all the chaos and the gloves have been changed, hands have been washed, our sweet nurse comes in. And again, she's been pretty emotionally neutral this entire time.
And all business.
And she comes into the room with Matt and I just enjoying our little baby. And she's just sweetly smiling. And she says, "Can I tell you guys a secret?" And we were like, "Yeah, of course. Tell us." She goes, "I just want you to know that you were my first solo birth. We were her first couple, like her first baby that she had gotten to have in her nursing career. And how special we were to her because of that."
She got like a little pink little binky into her jar, and we were the first binky in her jar. And she said that she'll never forget us. Oh, it's really sweet.
And I still have a picture of the jar and the sweet nurse's name on it. Maybe I'll post it just so you guys can see what it is.
But she also came back the next day and got to hold Emerson. She came into our post
recovery
room and got to hold Emerson and talk to us, and it was really sweet.
She was doing her rounds on that floor and snuck in, and when she came in, of course, we're not strange about like holding babies. We just told her, we said, "Do you want to hold her?" And she goes, "Can I?" And so that was just really special for her. So after we had the baby, we're in this recovery room. You're just in baby land without any help. And I think the care has changed over time. There used to be nurseries, but because of babies being stolen and switched, they don't do that anymore. The baby stays with the mom. You also have an ankle bracelet attached to me and the baby.
And so the dad.
Oh, you had one too?
I had one too.
Okay, so all three of us had bracelets. And the bracelets, like, none of us can leave without anyone else. It just was a really hard first few days because we're in this room, we're all recovering. We didn't even think to ask for help. And after night two, because the baby didn't sleep much, she doesn't know the difference between day and night.
She also pooped 12 times. The first day, the baby is getting out all the, what's called?
Meconium.
Which is like these black poops that come out from the food that she was getting from you. And they're like, it flushes out pretty much. So it looks like tar. And she pooped 12 times, like almost, like I think 3 or 4 times. She literally pooped back to back. Like we put a new diaper on, cleaned her, and then she pooped immediately again. I told Christina, I said, if this is how it's going to be for the next 6 months, I don't think we're going to be able to survive. That's not how it is, but
I didn't know about that either. And so we were both, I mean, I was crying the entire time because I was overwhelmed, but it was when she literally, I think there was 4 poops in a row where it was like, we changed her, she pooped, we changed her, the diaper's not even on and she's pooping. And it literally, we were just suffering. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning at one point, and we both hit our breaking point. And this is when
we were up for what it was at that time. It was like at least 24 hours straight.
It was more than that.
Yeah, was this day two? So we were up from 8 o'clock on, I think, like a Friday. And then this was like 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
We're so tired. I finally called the nurse and I said, "Can you please help us? She's not latching." And when you first give birth, your milk does not come in right away. You have something called
colostrum.
Look at you remembering. You're so smart. So colostrum comes in and it's almost like a butter for the baby. So it's super rich in calories. They call it liquid gold.
You only get like, I don't even know how to describe the amount, like a milliliter.
2 drops.
Droplets of it. And I was so confused. I'm like, how is this baby going to be full off of this?
Apparently they are, but
I don't think Emerson was.
I had a lady who came in, a lactation consultant, and she started milking me like a cow. And I don't know what triggered my strong feelings against breastfeeding, but the entire experience was really uncomfortable for me and extremely painful. Like, this lady was smashing my itty-bitty big titties. I don't know what you want to call them. And nothing was coming out. And she's literally has this little, like, it looks like a medicine cup. Like, you know when you get NyQuil and it has the cap on top? That's like the measuring cap. So it was like one of those. And she's like scraping it against my nipples. And it was excruciating. I asked her, I said, "Do we have any formula? I can't keep doing this." Like, well,
they asked if they wanted to take her. They said, do you want us to take her for a little bit? And we were like, oh my gosh, yes, please. We're dying right now. And like, oh yeah, we can take her. So they, and we had so much trouble swaddling her in the first couple days. We could not get a good swaddle. And they swaddled her so perfectly. They asked her, oh, can we give her formula? And I was like, yeah, what if she's going to take it, if that's fine, yeah, give her formula. I think she's starving. And they took her at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's when you let me go get a little bit of sleep and then come back in the morning. And
don't glaze over that, yeah. Because when you left, it was, we probably talked for 30 minutes after the baby had left that you were going to go home. And you had already shared that was a really hard experience for you.
Yeah, that was, I felt it's, I think being away, like this is my brand new baby and like I just did not want to be away from her. And this goes back to that feeling you got right as she came out, was she was like just everything to us. There's just no feeling to describe like how much she meant, and to be away from her just felt like I was like betraying the world. I had to force myself because I was like, this is gonna be better for all of us if I can be at a functioning level.
Yeah. The baby, she may be waking up.
At least she's going back down. She needs to learn how to sleep on her own. She's 10 months old now.
I think we're going to have to do a part two because there's so many complexities with parenting and the expectations of what we thought versus reality. But that pretty much sums up the birth experience.
Stay tuned for our parenting experience.
Yeah, I guess we have a lot to say. Birthing was fun. I'd do it again. Once more. I'm once done more. After two.
Yeah.
Yeah. See you later, I guess.
Bye, guys.